This past week, we said our goodbyes to Father Vic, who, as most of you know, had been in home hospice for the past several months, but only really bedridden for the past couple of weeks. It was a sad parting because many of us were drawn into his life, his ability to pastor and care for people, and his gentle way with the little ones. Over the last several months, I had been buying Father Vic ice cream bars because I noted that he liked them. And let's face it, what's wrong with a little joy every now and then? But then I discovered that he was sneaking them to some of the kids just because. And he'd always say to them, "Don't tell anyone where you got this." And I could certainly take a page out of his playbook. But why do things have to change? We always want to be surrounded by the ones we love. Why can't things remain the same forever? Wouldn't that be great? Knowing that time passes gives us the intellectual ability to understand that things do change, but our emotional ability fails to let our intellect register this information properly. Intellectually speaking, life and death are actually pretty easy concepts for us to grasp. As far as we all know, we're born, and hardly anyone lasts longer than 90 years, though a handful, like Father Vic, have. We know that death ultimately comes, but we do not necessarily know when. And it is this which makes it difficult for us emotionally. For if we knew our departure time from this world, we could prepare, couldn't we? But it's not that easy. And so we try and hold on to things as long as we can. Yet Jesus does offer this love which we can hold on to forever. He does offer us the kingdom of heaven. But obtaining this requires exercising the virtues of faith, hope, and love, which Father Jerome spoke of last week. This is doubly important during the season of Lent, for which we have embarked just this past Ash Wednesday. For it is through our imitation of Jesus where we can double check to see if we're on the wrong track, or at least determine whether or not we're being distracted or wooed off the path that Jesus has laid for us. Now, Jesus, since he was fully human in all ways except for sin, had to wrestle with the concept of doing things his own way. Now, this might sound a little bit strange to our ears. How can someone born without sin be tempted to do things his own way, and perhaps in a sinful way? Well, for one thing, we are equivocating the word sin, which has two different meanings, into a single meaning. These are, in fact, two separate ideas altogether. One we call original sin, and the other we call actual sin. Original sin is what we inherited from the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and the other is to act through reason, which turns us away from God. So you see, Adam and Eve, even though they were created without original sin, were able to commit actual sin by partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge through their gift of free will. They knew it was wrong since God told them not to do it, and yet they did it anyway. They turned away from God, and as a consequence, all of us now inherit the mark of original sin. Now, this mark, of course, washes away with baptism, but we still feel its effects in our lives. We know what many of them are. jealousy, rage, anger, envy, selfishness. The list goes on. And furthermore, all of these actually help us to commit actual sin more and more. Those things that we do out of conscious disobedience. So like Adam and Eve before him, even though he was born on earth without original sin, Jesus still could have acted in a way that was not in accordance with the plan of God the Father. But he didn't. Seeking worldly riches would have diverted him from his mission of salvation, our salvation. But he didn't. And because of his sacrifice, we have access to the kingdom of heaven. The devil tried and failed to get him to turn, but turn he didn't. And the offer to turn was very appealing. Now, some context is needed here. Around Jesus' time, the Israelites were counting on a Messiah, a liberator from their woes. Israel was just a puppet territory in the vast Roman Empire. But really, they had already been tossed around by the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, some say even the Greeks. So is it any wonder why they wanted to have their own autonomy, their own kingdom with their own king? The Messiah was to fit this bill, an earthly king who would wield power and strength, not to be intimidated or controlled by their neighbors. It's true that God's plan was to have Jesus come to earth to save the Israelites, but not in the way that they wanted. Certainly, Jesus came to lead us, but he leads us in a very different way. He came to serve, not to be served. Thus, he leads us by his example. Because in his servitude, in his emptying of himself for us, in his sacrifice, he conquers death. And that's what is in store for us as well, if we embrace his teachings. The devil tempts Jesus by the acquiring of bread to satisfy hunger, the acquiring of all the kingdoms of the world, and the protection from harm. We see all of these things as fulfilling our needs in this world, right? We all want to have some food in front of us. We want to advance in the world, seeking some fame and fortune. And lastly, we want to have everlasting health, at least for as long as possible. On the surface, these are all good for us, but they speak to an adherence to this world, a grasping at the material world. And while God created the world and the world is good, it is not our final resting place. In other words, while there is nothing wrong with striving for our well-being, it should not override the attaining of God's plan for us. Can we lead by serving? Again, we can understand and accept this intellectually, but can we do it emotionally? Here's where it becomes interesting for us. How can we obtain this kingdom? It is through Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is our role model. We must resist the temptations of the world, the things that hold us here, the things that will keep us here, causing us to ignore the plan that God has for us. We can easily point to things like advancement at work or making incredible financial investments or achieving greatness or fame in a variety of ways as opportunities to ignore the kingdom of heaven. For the sake of our neighbor or for God, occasionally we must sometimes sacrifice these goals. Again, can we imitate Christ? Now, through much prayer and discernment, and not without some personal sacrifice, Father Jerome last year made some organizational decisions, some of which were not popular, and they did involve change. While many people saw good things, others were disappointed and hurt to the point that some were texting or emailing or using social media to encourage even the boycotting of Mass or the withholding of donations to the church or the deployment of other ways to disrupt and to show Father Jerome that change would not be tolerated. Others simply wanted to express their own dissent and dissatisfaction, but all of this was at his expense. Now, before you cry foul about using the pulpit to call out bad behavior, I would like to say that this is, number one, in the past, and number two, is really nothing new in the context of the larger church. Every parish suffers through something like this every now and again. It is a consequence of original sin, and believe me, I've fallen prey to it myself. How often have we resisted the church and its teachings, some even to the point of disobedience? I'm using this particular incident to show us all that Christ asks for something better from us. And moreover, Christ always forgives our transgressions if we seek it out. I hope that we can use Lent as a time of discernment, as a time of detachment from our desires, and as a time of reflection on how we can, like Jesus, resist the temptations that can prevent us from doing God's will. Our Holy Father Dominic's main mission in life was not to preach for his own sake, and it was certainly not to create a religious order. Rather, Jesus called him into service to preach for the salvation of souls, yours and mine. Father Jerome is simply following in his footsteps. Father Jerome loves you like a father, for that is why we call him Father. And like our Heavenly Father, he wants what's best for you. And like all shepherds, he bemoans it when his flock goes astray, because ultimately he wants you in heaven. For if through salvation we find ourselves in heaven, we are certain to be reunited with Father Vic, and who would not want